kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Let's commit our time before the Lord. Heavenly Father, as we have just sung before you, turn your eyes upon Jesus. May we do that, Father, as we hear your word. May the things around us just disappear, and that we will just be in your presence, because we know that in your presence is full joy and blessing and peace. And Lord, this word we ask that it does that change within our lives and hearts, conforming us more and more into the image of your Son. We ask this now in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. I have a title here, and we're calling our teaching today, Natural and Spiritual in Conflict. Natural and Spiritual in Conflict. I said about 3-4 years ago that the Lord was really impressing to me that portion of scripture that we know very well in Hebrews 12, and which he says here in verse 26 onwards, which goes, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heavens. Now this once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, so of the things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. So what is the nature of this shaking we are now in? To remove those things that are shakable, that are not upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, which is all going to fall and be exposed, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. And we have certainly seen this, and we are seeing this. God is allowing the heavens and the earth to shake. And this shaking is going to identify all those who belong to God, who are called from the foundation of the world, who are walking by faith and not by sight. This shaking is in which to shake out of us anything that is of the flesh, the natural, the carnal, that we may be God's people who walk in the Spirit in these last days, Romans 8. And this is how I believe God is doing it. This shaking is shaking Christ's body, for we're told that judgment begins first in the house of God. He has been shaking your life and my life, and it is all for a purpose, so that we are not in the natural, in the carnal, relying on the arm of the flesh. And we are beginning to see the arm of the flesh exposing itself for what it really is. And how are we seeing it? Because of this shaking, which the God of this world, Satan, cannot stop. And so he is causing turmoil. He is growling like that lion. He is trying to work with fear and confusion In whatever way or form, the powers of darkness are trying to trick us, to cause us to look away. But this very shaking is the means of us looking to the Lord, looking to the kingdom, and seeking that kingdom. Because the nature of shaking is to bring down all the obstacles that are hindering us. That is the nature. But he says that he's going to shake the heavens and the earth. That's never been done before. The earth has been shaken. The flood was quite a shakening. But it says this shakening is also going to be in the heavens as well. And so we're calling our teaching today natural and spiritual in conflict. I want us to remind ourselves of a story if we turn to Galatians chapter 4 and verse 21. Galatians 4 and verse 21, where it speaks of two covenants. And it's the story of Isaac and Ishmael, Abraham's sons. And we pick it up here. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by the bondwoman and the other by the free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise. So we know that God made that promise to Abraham and said, you will have a son. And we know that time went on, and in the end that unbelief gets in, the mind tries to work it out and plan and take over. And Sarah said, you better have a child with Hagar. And it goes on in verse 24, which things are symbolic. So the apostle is raising here something that is symbolic. He's giving revelation. He's using this story now to show that there's the natural and the spiritual. For there are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, O rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as he was born according to the flesh, then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit. Even so it is now. Nevertheless, what does the scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. The shaking of the heavens and the earth is beginning to reveal what the Apostle Paul said here to the Galatians. And we need to remind ourselves that the Apostle here, he brings this to their attention because they started out in the faith, and they're now wanting to go under the works, the law. And the Apostle Paul finds this quite alarming. And his letter to the Galatians is really, you could say, a vigorous attack against the gospel of works and defense of the gospel of faith. He's holding to the gospel of faith, that we walk by faith and not by sight. And Christians battle with this one, because unless you are willing to allow the Spirit to cause you to mature and grow as sons of God, you will battle with this one. And you will start to become a slave to works. Why works? Because man wants to be in control. And the thought of letting go and walking by faith to some is very alarming. And we still at times are battling with this. And this is why we're calling this teaching the natural and the spiritual in conflict. Are you in conflict at the moment? Are you battling between the natural and the spiritual? The law of bondage or the law of grace? Are you in conflict? Then we need to listen to this, because Galatians is a wonderful book to read if you want to know our walk of faith, the work of grace within our lives. And he gave a clear, clear warning to this church. And as I've said in a lot of times this recently, that this book is very applicable now, particularly at this present time that is taking place in the Middle East and with what's happening with Israel. We are seeing these two brothers in conflict, Isaac and Ishmael. That is the root of the problem. And of course, this causes great argument, great conflict, as was going on with these brothers. Because God has blessed with two covenants because of the seed of Abraham. Abraham walked by faith. He pleased God. And therefore God will bless his hands, whatever he puts his hands to. Even though with Ishmael coming, he was really in the permissive will of God, yet God still uses this, the same as he uses the permissive will of God in your life and my life at times, in which to bring about the perfect will of God. That is the grace and mercy of God. And sometimes we can interpret that wrongly, that it looks as though God is blessing the permissive will. You could say with the Galatians that they're now moving into the permissive will of God by bringing themselves under the law, and debating about circumcision and Sabbaths and all the rest that goes with it, forgetting that all of this is nailed to the cross because nobody can keep the law. We can't even get near it. Only one could do that, and his name is Jesus Christ. And so this is dealing here with the natural and the spiritual. It's not dealing so much with sin, although the apostle is warning this church of what will happen. It's not so much dealing with sin. It's dealing about growing up spiritually. That is what this is dealing with. And he uses the difference. He uses one of the flesh and one of the spirit, one of the earth and one from above. And this is why you have to be born again of the Spirit. You are above. You are not of the earth, even though you are still remaining on the earth. And that is why you walk by faith and not by sight. But you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Your abode, your future, your destiny is from above. And he uses the analogy of Ishmael and Isaac. Israel doesn't yet have their eyes open that they are from above. They are in conflict. They are fighting for survival. And a lot that Israel is doing is far from right. But this goes deeper. We're looking at a spiritual warfare. Why is this happening? I already read it to you back in Hebrews 12. God is shaking the heavens and the earth. And when shaking starts, you see the nature of man's heart beginning to expose itself. And it's ugly. It's horrible. Yes, and Israel's heart is being exposed as well in this shaking. But God always has a plan. He sees far ahead than we do. We are so blinkered in our seeing, in what we hear and so on, and we react so easily. And this, of course, is why you need to get into the Word, and particularly in and out this time, into Bible prophecy of what's happening. There is a greater plan God has got that he's going to open up. And even though the Antichrist is going to come to try and deceive the world, which he's going to try and do, and try and deceive God's people, he still has a greater plan, and he will use that in order to expose. It's all part of the shaking of the heavens and the earth. And it's happening, brothers and sisters. It's happening. God is looking for that level of maturity now in the remnant that he has called. For example, in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 to 3, 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 to 3, and he says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, and as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos,' are you not carnal?" And sadly, the house of God is infected with that, what we have just read. The arguing, the bickering, the envy and the strife and the divisions, some following this ministry, some following that ministry, "I belong to this church," or whatever it would be. You hear it. And the arguing and bickering among Christians, you've only got to go on the internet. It's utterly appalling. No witness. Exactly what was happening in Corinth. There's nothing new under the sun. Unless God touches man's nature, he will remain in his sin. And of course, this is why the apostle wrote these two letters to this important city in Greece. Because it was idolatrous. It was religious. It had a degrading culture. And the apostle, he found this church in Corinth. But look how he's having to address, because they cannot get delivered from their past life. And of course, this is a lot of problem that goes on in Christendom. Christians receive Christ, but they're not getting the deliverance. And why do they not get the deliverance? Because they're not getting the word of God that's helping them to grow and mature in the faith. And he says, he's basically saying, I want to give you the meat of the word, but I can't. I've still got to feed you with milk, like a mother does with a child. I can't give you that meat because you'll choke on it. Because you're still carnal. There's envy, there's strife. You're not settled. And this is the tragic thing that is happening in churches around the world. And again, this is why God is shaking. And he says judgment begins first in the house of God, because we have to get our house in order. In other words, the Lord's getting his house in order, and there is a remnant who will bow the knee, who will not resist, but allow the word of God begin to work in their lives to enable them to grow and mature, to walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. Romans 8. What does it say in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11? 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And that is what we have to do. We put away envy. We put away jealousy. We put away strife. We put away any of those things that will still try and hinder us and hold us down. It's called deliverance. And where does our deliverance come? It's through the word of God. As you hear, you get that deliverance under the anointing. So important in these days. And of course, what does it say in 1 Peter? 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's just open up to this. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 1 to 3. He says here in verses 1 to 3, 1 Peter 2. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So you indeed need to know that God is gracious and merciful, because that's not going to happen otherwise. And that could be the reason why some just never grow in the faith, because they have never experienced the grace and forgiveness of God. Because when you've truly been touched by God's grace and mercy, you want to do it his way. You don't want to fight and resist. So we see then, don't we, that the natural must be changed into the spiritual. Exactly the same why we go through puberty, that we become adults, so that our hormones do that work of bodily change within us. And if we don't start to grow and develop as adults, then we become very concerned with our children And rightly so. Well, how much more spiritually in the house of God? Why is it that so many of our preachers, teachers are not dealing with this, are concerned with this and addressing this? It's very important. It's also interesting that our hormones not only touch every part of our body, but they're also involved in us getting taller and heavier. So it's all part of our growth and our development. And that's why the natural must be changed into the spiritual. And this requires sacrifice. It's not just salvation and commitment. The Apostle Paul has already made that clear back with the church at Corinth. He's not said that they are sinners. He's dealing with flesh. He's dealing with a carnal, natural mind that needs to be changed. That's what he's dealing with there. Because if he doesn't deal with this, many Christians will simply walk in God's permissive will, which is what happens. And we get no clearer illustration of that than, of course, with the children of Israel, who were called out of Egypt, who should have gone through the wilderness in just a few months. And it took them 40 years. That was the permissive will of God. Why? Because they were stiff-necked. They argued. They rebelled. They saw the greatest miracles any nation on earth ever saw and ever will see. But did it change them? No. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. And they didn't want to walk by faith. So they were still bound by the law, which they couldn't keep. And when we begin to really grasp this, then God's plan is to transform us into spiritual. And this comes through obedience. In other words, yielding to the Spirit and not resisting the Spirit. And he always gives us the grace to yield. Always. We cannot accuse him of that. That's why sin has made it necessary for the natural to be sacrificed. And that's why we read that Ishmael had to be offered up before Isaac, which he was. And he was cast out, and the bondwoman, because both sons, as we've said, they didn't get on. And you've got flesh and spirit in conflict here. And many try to walk by the Spirit before offering up the natural. You can never walk in the Spirit until you allow God to deal with pride in your life. And that is the problem. Here it is. I make no apology for reading this again to us in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Because you have to learn. Your mind has to be renewed, and that's what teaching does. And so this sacrifice that we make, and we don't have to do it, it's a deliberate choice. It's part of our commitments, our separation, our sanctification of our whole being. That we are offering up to God and we're saying, I'm wholly and completely yours. And if we don't do this, our natural man, the flesh, will glory in self. And what is self? Hypocrisy. And then it makes the life of Christ in me a mockery. And you know, there are a lot of Christians, the way they walk, and yet they cannot see that they make the life of Christ a mockery in their walk and consecration. And the only way that we ever get our eyes open is when we present ourselves on this altar. Because he says, do not be conformed to this world. That's what it does. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Exactly, so that you can see. You can see these things that has been in your life where you're not a good example. Your life isn't pointing the way to Christ. And he says that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What is the perfect will of God? Verse 1 tells us, present your body on the altar. That is the will of God. He doesn't force us to do that. This is a choice. Because we've been purchased with a price, we are no longer ourselves. We have been brought by God. We offer it back. Many of the saints in the Old Testament offered an offering to God, or offered their son to God. Abraham offered Isaac up to God and was willing to slay him, giving it back. And this is what you do. You give yourself back to him as a recognition and gratitude for what he has done for me, given me eternal life. He first loved me. I think we don't always see that like that, in that light, but that is what it is. Because if we don't do this, our lives will be always undisciplined. There'll be little time for quality time with the Lord. And we start to get unstuck. We refuse then to be disciplined. We're no longer casting down those thoughts and imaginations any longer. And we no longer have much control over our moral and mental health, because the cross isn't working. And sadly, that is a lot of problems amongst Christendom, because I'm seeing it online. There are real problems in God's house. But thank God, he has got a remnant. And I see again why he is shaking, for this very reason. Because this shaking that's going on, I don't know about you, but most things to me now don't make any sense. Governments now don't make any sense. Politicians are not making any sense. Nothing's making any sense. And I'm not going to even try and work it out anymore, because I know what God is doing. And you always find with these Christians who are in many ways backsliding, they make excuses. I wasn't disciplined maybe as a child, or I've got too many problems, I've got too many obstacles. When I came to the Lord, I had a real load of baggage on my shoulder. Little realizing that he says, come to me and cast all that burden upon me. It never seems to occur to them that that is what it means. You see, brothers and sisters, we've got to learn that God isn't going to pamper us. He's not going to minister to our self-pity, or the life that we once had. He's not going to do that. Do you know what he's going to do with that life, your life? He's going to put it out in the desert. Because that is where you meet with God. And that's what he's been doing with us, brothers and sisters. We've been out in the desert for many, many years. And God will open up those wells of living water. And that's why we walk by faith and not by sight. That is why our walk is a miraculous walk. That is why I praise and thank God that this assembly can't happen in the natural. But this is our walk in the desert. And he's opening up these wells of living water. You know, it's so interesting, isn't it, that before man fell, Adam fell, there wasn't a natural and a spiritual. And that's why we're being restored. We're being restored back in the second Adam, Jesus Christ. And that is why our walk is a walk of rest by faith. And where is God meeting us? In the wilderness, because the wilderness deals with the Ishmael. It deals with the flesh. The wilderness works in us the spiritual, so that we begin to walk from the above and not from the earth. And this is why he calls us out to be separate. We're still at times too involved with things of the world that are still trying to trick us and beguile us. And we know we shouldn't be involved. But you see, God doesn't make a mistake. He knows that Rome wasn't built in a day. And I thank God so much how he has long suffering and patience towards us. And we see that with the imagery of Revelation 12, the man child that's in the womb of the woman. How that child is developing and maturing. And how he will not let any overzealous midwives try and induce the birthing of that child. He's got it under complete control. That is the mercy and grace of God with us. But he also does say, my spirit will not always strive with man. And we do have to be completely honest with God where he is dealing with those areas in our lives. Sometimes we have to tell him, I'm struggling with this. I'm finding this difficult. Or I'm confused. Or whatever it would be. Well, we know what to do. Go before him and wait on him. Look to him. Just come to him and be before him. And you watch. He will start to begin to work. You'll begin then to hear him, and you'll find his grace, his power, his spirit is working in you, both to will and do for his good pleasure. And you will find when you come through that trial, God has done a miracle in my life. How he has changed my affection, my thinking, my mind, my attitude, and so on. We should be experiencing that, brothers and sisters. They are all the clear signs of growing up, maturing in the Lord. For as he says, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Thank you all. I trust you've been blessed. and it's spoken to you as it certainly has spoken to me. And all of you have a blessed week, and we will be back again on Sunday at 10:45, that's UK time. So until then.
Let him in constancy, for